the main reason why I feel like the current WhatsApp group we have is successful is that we're not creating it as a broadcast channel. We're creating it as an interaction for people to learn from each other. And by virtue, hopefully we'll make some sales in the community from it, because we built that trust with people is really important to maintain the engagement and keep people interested in sharing and learning from other people.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, here we go. We release 5-episode mini-series that dive deep into one e-commerce marketing topic. It could be channels like email or SEO or WhatsApp, or a big topic like acquisition, retention, or analytics. In each episode, new one released on Wednesdays, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. And then after each 5-episode miniseries, we take a week off to give you time to take action on what you've learned. At the moment, we're spending 5 episodes exploring a brand new topic. That means we're all about WhatsApp at the moment. The rest of the WhatsApp series is focused on one-on-one WhatsApp communication. The WhatsApp Messenger service, basically. But in this episode, we're talking about groups and community and the power of building a community on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is all about customer communications. So we've got a customer communications specialist on who's been experimenting with WhatsApp groups, partly to grow sales and build stronger relationships with the customers in the group, but also to use that group as a way of really getting to understand the customers in order to improve all the rest of the marketing. Really fascinating examples coming up from our expert guests. So do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because you don't want to miss her quickfire insider tips. And I will also be sharing my take on it all and outlining some other ways we can help you improve all of this. Everyone's talking about automation, AI, personalization, but there's one big opportunity that many are still missing. It's conversational commerce using WhatsApp. In India and the Middle East, brands using WhatsApp to engage customers are already seeing 3 times higher engagement and up to 40% more repeat sales. Yet in the UK, most e-commerce brands treat WhatsApp like a support channel, not a revenue engine. That's where Quick Engage by GoQuick comes in. It helps you turn conversations into conversions. With smart automations for cart recovery and product recommendations, Instagram to WhatsApp automation, and IA-based support. If you want to build personalized buying journeys that actually sell, not just chat, it's time to get Quick Engage by GoQuick. Book your demo now via keepopt.com/quickengage. That's keepopt.com/KWIKENGAGE. Keepopt.com/quickengage. In this episode, I'm chatting with customer communications expert Alice Brown. Alice is the founder and narrative strategist at Seventh Wave Stories, where she helps brands to connect with their customers throughout the customer journey. Hello, Alice.
Hello, Chloe. How are you doing?
I'm very cool. It's very cool to be interviewing someone who is less than 300 miles away from me.
I know. We should have made it an in-person thing, shouldn't we?
But I don't have the technology or the hardware to make that possible. But it's very cool to be interviewing someone who isn't hundreds and hundreds of miles away from me. So very cool to have you on the show. Plus, you've got a great set of experience and experiments to share with us in this. So how did you end up getting into WhatsApp groups and communities?
So I'll take you back all the way to the start of my, I guess, career. And I started as a surf instructor, and I was helping people every day overcome obstacles and hesitations, why they were scared to get in the water or make a tit of themselves falling over, catching bigger waves. It was quite, could be dangerous if we take them out in big conditions. And as my role developed in the surf schools, also a few ski schools, I was talking to customers and doing a bit of the customer service. And I realized every day I was talking to people and helping them overcome the fear of booking a lesson or even just inquiring in the first place. Again, as my role developed, I was like, oh, I could help a little bit with writing blogs and things like that. And I didn't know where to start. So I just thought, well, what do I know? I know why people don't want to book. I know why they're scared. So I'll address those things. And some of the blogs did really well. There was a blog I wrote, I think it's like 800 words. The formatting is horrible. It's in a really weird WordPress template. And that was 7 or 8 years ago. And it's still one of the top three performing pages on the website. And so I was like, okay, this is kind of working. COVID hit. I couldn't go skiing. I couldn't go surfing. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to help other brands address those obstacles and hesitations that people feel that are stopping them from trying something new and getting out of their comfort zone. So that's very much the approach that I've come to the marketing world with, and helping people overcome obstacles and hesitations. Now, one of the clients that I currently have, which is where our big experiment is, they are encouraging people, athletes, entrepreneurs, they're encouraging them to do more recovery. Think about that as their competitive advantage. It's not something that a lot of people feel they have time for. So what we're trying to do is encourage them to, well, it's kind of like a mindset shift. It's similar to encouraging people in the surf school. It's that mindset shift of, I don't believe in myself. I can't do this. I don't believe you. I don't believe in myself to be successful. And it's very much the same approach that we're coming at with this recovery brand. It's called Doppa, D-O-P-P-A. We're very new, but we have started, like the first thing we have done is start with this WhatsApp group to come up with, well, basically talk to our ideal customers and the best people that we think are well suited for the brand, not just to validate it, but to get insights from them as well on how we can develop the brand.
So you kind of lead me there into my first question, which is, why might we want to set up a WhatsApp group? Because there has to be, it's like with everything on WhatsApp, there's no point in doing it unless there's a two-way communication, and very much so in the group setting. So it's not, the goal can't be to tell people about our sale, can it? So what are you seeing as the key reasons why someone might want to invest their time and effort in putting together and building a WhatsApp community?
So for us right now, it's validation of messaging, validation of elements of the product that we're going to be putting out into the world. We're going to be building an online platform that meshes recovery, sports performance, business, because they found in research, if you use ice baths, if you take time to do physical recovery, there's an impact on your cognitive performance. So we're trying to bring those two worlds together. And it's a little bit of a complex topic that people aren't used to. And actually having this WhatsApp group is helping us find ways to best discuss this topic. We can see what things people resonate with, what people reply to, what gets tumbleweed and no one wants to have a conversation about. So it's as much validation as it is feedback. And then when we learn what topics people are engaged with and what gets the conversation going, then we can put that into a content strategy. We can feed back that voice of customer into the copy that we're going to be using on the website. Those are probably the main reasons for us that we're using it. And also to make this really small group of people feel really valuable. I think when people are, they feel valuable, they feel important, that's when you start to build that trust that you don't have to go in for the hard sell. You don't have to use it like a broadcast channel. Naturally, that trust is built.
So hold on, this is very similar to kind of what you were doing initially, where you, as you talked about your career progression, when you were on the phone talking people through their problems. That was research for you back then. And now this WhatsApp group is a way of research that's, I guess it's auto-transcribed, isn't it? Because people are writing in there in the first place. But it's that same, let's learn from our customers and let's understand all that core stuff we really need at the moment, the tone of voice, the messages that resonate, how putting things in the customer's voice, but also an element of let's build a really core group of people who are going to feel really attached to the brand for the longer term as well. So this isn't we're going to email our whole inquirer database and try and get them to sign up. This is going to be a people who are already buying from us, VIPs type scenario to build that closer connection, but also get that great research data too.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a copywriter, I initially started to use the jobs to be done framework to get that insight into past solutions that didn't work, why it didn't work, why they don't believe in themselves to try something new, what those emotions are around the thing they want to remove themselves from, that problem state, how they describe their future dream state that they want to get to. And so initially we used that framework with individual interviews, one-to-one, on Zoom, recorded. We used those transcripts to work out what messages we thought we wanted to use. And then because we'd had that one-to-one conversation with people that represented our ideal customer, we had a bit of a rapport with them anyway. They got to know me a little bit because we'd had a one-to-one conversation. A little bit of that barrier has been broken down to just inviting a total stranger into a WhatsApp group and expecting them to engage.
Yeah.
So we already had a bit of that interaction. And to contrast that, a few months back, maybe a year ago, I ran a LinkedIn workshop on helping people write LinkedIn content that was going to actually pique people's interest and get them wanting to engage, sort of the selling without selling, sounding salesy. And immediately after that, I created a WhatsApp group with all the attendees because I've had a face-to-face conversation with a lot of these people. That barrier is broken down. There's an investment in them with the topic of LinkedIn. And we were like, okay, well, whenever you have a LinkedIn post that you want people to comment on, put it in the group, we'll all comment on it. And what I realized when that fell flat on its face was that I'm just asking everyone to take an action. And if they don't take it, then there's no value in here for me. So I wanted to use that learning for the new current WhatsApp group we have for Dopper in how can this be a two-way conversation? And there's a quote from Seema Palmer, who is the community manager and head of memberships at a brand called Until. And they are a kind of gym in London, but it's spaces for practitioners to use and connect with each other. And I don't know if she came up with this herself or she got it for someone else, but it stuck with me for a really long time. And she said, the true mark of a community is when people interact and you don't have to moderate or facilitate or initiate. When people are connecting with each other. And with the WhatsApp group that I created for the people who came to my LinkedIn workshop, that wasn't there. It was a one-way communication. Okay, the one way was maybe from members, but they weren't asking for a reply or response in the group. It was very much, you need to leave this WhatsApp group to go and do the thing that I want you to do. So I took that learning into the current WhatsApp group that we are building. And thought, how are we going to get people to engage with each other where we as facilitators, the three of us moderators, we have a real minor role. For us specifically in this case, we have been super detailed and specific about who our ideal client is and refined that to the smallest number of people. So for us, we have athletes or ex-athletes who run a business or want to run a business. And we also have entrepreneurs who aspire to sort of like the training and progression and goals, PBs of these athletes. So what we've been able to create is a space where these two different groups of people want to learn from each other, which has been really helpful in, you know, understanding how we can get these people to engage with each other.
So I find it really fascinating how you're talking about it, because it's like the recruitment and the goals and the engagement are completely impossible to pick apart from each other. If you want engagement, then you have to bring in people who are going to create content and respond to the content. You know, I think your LinkedIn example was great. It's like, I created this so they could post stuff, but nobody wanted to post anything. So it wasn't going to work. And they had to go to LinkedIn, create their LinkedIn thing, then come back, which possibly means device switching. It's like, it makes so much sense in retrospect that wouldn't function. But then that also means you need the right people in the group. You don't need hundreds and hundreds of people necessarily in the group. You need the top 1% in the group who feel privileged to be in there, who have something to gain from it. And the fact, you know, you found these two niches within the customer base who can learn from each other and want to learn from each other, which I can so see working for a lot of e-commerce brands, you know, in skincare, in supplements, in even potentially even in fashion, you know, those who are, depending on where the brand focuses, those who are taking this to get further or using this in their beauty routine to solve a problem and who can learn from others who can solve the problem. It seems, what I'm trying to say is it's fascinating how it is essential to get the right people in, provoke them in the right way to get them automatically sharing. It's not a project to be taken lightly, I suppose.
I think we were able to find these two very specific groups where actually there's a lot of crossover between the two groups, because we took the time to do those initial interviews and have those one-to-one conversations with people. What we did before we created the WhatsApp group was we found 20 to 30 people who we wanted to interview, who we thought these people might look like our ideal customer. And I've developed a framework that I use a lot of the time, which is sort of like laid up on top of the jobs to be done framework, to understand what the intrinsic motivations are for someone to recover, to run a business, to train for half marathon or an Ironman, what those, you know, deep rooted desires are. The framework itself is tied and it's designed to help build momentum with creating that connection with customers. So the T stands for true identity. And so what that means is we're trying to speak to these ICPs and understand who are they when they train well? Who are they when they run their business? When they feel on top of things and there's that sort of mutual desire for performance on both levels. The I is intrinsic motivation. So what does it mean to them when they're able to achieve it? In fact, what does it mean when they're not able to achieve it? The D is doubts and hesitations. So what doubts and hesitations do they have about recovery methods or learning from other people in business? And the E is expression patterns. So like what language they use to explain those things. So it's sort of like the VOC we were talking about earlier. And so by digging into the psyche of these individuals and using counselor-influenced interview techniques to help to unpick these motivations, desires, doubts, etc., we were able to take all of that data from the interviews, collate it, see where the common themes were, and then we were able to determine the two different categories that were the most prevalent, being the athletes or ex-athletes that run businesses and the entrepreneurs who want to train like them. And I think this idea of pulling people together by psychographics rather than demographics can be really powerful in working out who you actually want in that group. And are there two contrasting groups of people that complement each other? Yet, you know, there's commonalities. They're time poor, so recovery always disappears. They have these expectations on themselves. They feel perpetually behind because they've set themselves their own arbitrary goals, which they might not always be able to reach. They prioritize training and socializing over recovery. Their body or their brain is their revenue because they've got to look after themselves. And if they don't, then their work's not going to be as good, or they're going to find it tough training and not feel like they're progressing. And so looking at those psychological elements of the human being that you're trying to attract with your brand or your company is so fundamental to setting the parameters and the conditions for that group, and what, you know, setting, I guess, not boundaries, but what your expectation of what that relationship is between those people.
It makes so much sense. Three-letter abbreviations. So I'm just going to give those to the audience in case any of you are screaming this. ICP, ideal customer profile, basically your target customer segment definition. It's one of those ones. VOC, voice of customer, for anyone wondering that one. So question for you then, Alice. I love how you paired kind of the interview research, the really in-depth Zoom calls with everybody, and then brought them into the group, which I think often people do the research once as the Zoom calls because it's time consuming and they rely on that for 12 months. But obviously with the WhatsApp group, you get ongoing data from people. Have you also found with the WhatsApp group that, you know, digging for trying to get people to give you those intrinsic bits can be an absolute, even however skilled you are, it can be an absolute nightmare because you can't say, tell me intrinsically, how are you motivated to do this? Because it's so layered down. Do you find with the more natural ad hoc conversations that happen in the WhatsApp group where people don't feel like they're being interviewed and they're not in interview mode, do you find you get some of that intrinsic coming out organically and naturally that helps you, or is it more surface level what you're getting?
That's a really good question. And when we were trying to work out what might make a successful WhatsApp group, we're thinking, okay, what other WhatsApp groups am I in? What are the busiest ones? Who do I speak to the most? And for me, it's a extended family WhatsApp group, like a lot of people probably listening. Also my run club. And what do people talk about in there? And the overwhelming reasons why people engage or they speak is to celebrate their own achievement or someone else's achievement and self-deprecation. Like in my family WhatsApp group, everyone's continually taking the piss out of each other. And you get that flurry of messages and everyone wants to have their say and someone's trying to stand up for themselves. And it's all in jest and it's in a nice way. But I wanted to try and reverse engineer that and think, how can I use that in the group to get honest insights from people that isn't just, hey, what podcast are you listening to? Or can you give me a recommendation for someone to sort out my client onboarding journey? So where we are with this specific brand is at least the two founders, they've both done Ironman competitions. One of them is a sports rehab expert. The other one is general manager of some really like upper class gyms in London currently. So he's like got the people skills. So the three of us, we're sort of getting the ball rolling because there's a couple of moderators. And so if we think about the busy WhatsApps that we're in, the congratulations and the self-deprecation, or, I mean, you don't want to lightly take the piss out of anyone in the group unless you know each other really well. But I think one of the best ways that we've been able to see those intrinsic, honest, vulnerable reactions from people is when we say, we really struggled, like, it's Christmas, I've eaten so much, my training plan's gone to shit, I don't really know how to motivate myself when everyone's really busy or they're drinking in the evenings and I know I've got a gap up for the morning for a run. We are lucky to be in the place where we're kind of two steps ahead of a lot of the people in the group. I'm not an athlete myself, but I surf a lot. I run quite a lot now and I've done, you know, like a little like trail run competition last year. But I'm in the position where I now understand about recovery so much. It's so ingrained into the lives of the founders that they are two steps ahead. So we can really relate to the people in the group. I think from that, with people are wanting to create a group where people are honest, I think finding a moderator or a significant voice or two who is those two steps ahead, people are more willing to be open about the things that they struggle with because there's someone in the group that's like them. And they've seen it before and they know, they understand where you're at. So if we've said, okay, we're struggling with training over Christmas, or I meant to do a recovery session, but I decided to go to the pub and sit with my friends because it's Christmas and I don't want to miss out. People are really open to be like, oh yeah, me too. Like, oh, what I'm doing is rubbish. And we're not doing this to try and make people feel bad about themselves, but we're trying to get those insights to, so eventually when we're starting to create more content in a wider community on Circle, which we're building at the moment, we can say, we really know that you struggle when there's social stuff on. Here's a 5-minute thing you can do beforehand so that we're addressing those frustrations that people have. But in the WhatsApp group, because we're trying to create that environment where people are happy to be a little bit vulnerable because it's a level playing field, they're more visceral with their language. There's more colour and texture to the way they describe things, which for us is gold for voice of customer, that we can use those little language nuggets and put it in a headline on the website. And it sounds different and it gives voice to the brand. And it sounds different from everyone else because we are using the language of our customers, reflecting it back to them. We're reflecting their experience back to them. And so we can develop that relationship of relating to them and continuing to build that trust with them.
Love this insight. Thanks, Alice. Is there anything we've missed that the audience need to know about, or have we covered everything that you've been experimenting with WhatsApp groups? I feel like we probably have, but if we've missed anything, tell me now.
Yeah, I think the main reason why I feel like the current WhatsApp group we have is successful and the other one isn't, is that we're not creating it as a broadcast channel. We're creating it as an interaction for people to learn from each other. And by virtue, hopefully, we'll make some sales in the community from it because we built that trust with people. But I think it's just so important to remember that from the learnings of the failed LinkedIn WhatsApp group is that it needs to be mutually beneficial. People need to feel like it's worth their time spending in there because, yeah, I have a bunch of WhatsApp groups where I've just muted it and silenced it and put it in my archive because it's too salesy or it's irrelevant to who I am. And I've seen what used to be really strong community groups getting too busy and then the moderators either stopping posting or closing it down and moving to, say, like Circle platform. I think keeping an eye on the numbers, making it small, making it feel exclusive and not letting in anyone is really important to maintain the engagement and keep people interested in sharing and learning from other people.
Awesome. I love that. Keep it exclusive. Alice, it's been great picking your brains about all of this. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Alice's insider tips on WhatsApp and other things and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Everyone's talking about automation, AI, personalization, but there's one big opportunity that many are still missing. It's conversational commerce using WhatsApp. In India and the Middle East, brands using WhatsApp to engage customers are already seeing 3 times higher engagement and up to 40% more repeat sales. Yet in the UK, most e-commerce brands treat WhatsApp like a support channel, not a revenue engine. That's where Quick Engage by GoQuick comes in. It helps you turn conversations into conversions. With smart automations for cart recovery and product recommendations, Instagram to WhatsApp automation and IA-based support. If you want to build personalized buying journeys that actually sell, not just chat, it's time to get Quick Engage by GoQuick. Book your demo now via keepopt.com/quickengage. That's keepopt.com/KWIKENGAGE. Keepopt.com/quickengage. Okay, Alice, so far we've gone deep into WhatsApp communities and customer communications. Now you get to ask with your insider knowledge. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with WhatsApp and customer communications, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I would say, think about who you're guessing in the group before you think about how many or what sales pitch you're going to have at the end of it. Think about the smallest group of people that you can invite so that it doesn't feel overwhelming. You can get to know every single individual in there to make them feel valued and important, because that is creating the environment where people actually want to speak up and engage with the other members.
Love that. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
I think using the conversations as feedback, trialing different things that you might want to talk about, seeing what works, what doesn't, what gets people talking, what doesn't, particularly contested topics where you might have a bit of a split in your members on points of view, because everyone loves to have a controversial point of view. And use that data, feed it back into your content strategy, or use the voice of customer, feed it back into your headlines or your email subject lines. Use that data to grow from it, that use it as a feedback loop, so that it's your motivation to keep people engaged, because it's not just people talking to each other. You're going to get value from that to use on other platforms.
Nice. Yeah, such so much potential. I love it. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yeah, so I've actually written an ebook on my Tide framework. So we look, as I said, we look at the true identity of your customer, their intrinsic motivations, doubts and hesitations, and expression patterns. And ultimately, it's going to help motivate people to engage with you. It's designed so that those interactions can be emotionally intelligent when you start to understand your customer properly. So it will give you ideas on how you can formulate these interviews with customers and then utilize that to make your interactions with customers more emotionally intelligent, resonant, and relevant as well.
So how can people get their hands on that ebook?
Oh yeah, so it's on my website. If you go to 7th, as in 7th-wave.co/tide, that's where you can get it. There's a 20% off for all of your listeners as well. So the discount code is KEEP. So if you just pop that in when you're on the payment page, then you'll get 20% off.
Awesome. Everyone, we will make sure the details of that are in the show notes on the website as well, to make it super easy for you to go and grab that great deal. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I can imagine there's going to be a lot of brands that are going to want to utilize WhatsApp and try and monetize it. And I think you've got to be super clever for that to work. I think for things like coaches, that's probably going to work fine. But for anyone else, I think, you know, you see the value in that is the data that you can feed back in, unless you've got a really intelligent structure for it in why people are going to get value, because you've got to see that value as data. You're building that trust with people. But they are also going to be your brand evangelists. They are going to be the people that refer you in the word of mouth. So I think in the next 6 to 12 months, we're probably going to see people try and monetize it. But I don't know if it's going to work for everyone.
Yeah, the direct monetization is tricky. But, you know, if all the power is in the trust and the knowledge and the voice of the customer, et cetera, and the intrinsic bits that you're learning, to then try and, you know, send a sales message in there would eradicate a lot of the value and the trust that you've built up. But saying that, the value you get from everything we've been talking about, if you actually implement it and use it, is going to be far higher and improve your business for far longer anyway. So I love that crystal ball. Thank you, Alice. Now, we are nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can get in contact with you and your business?
Yeah, sure. So as I said, if you go to my website, which is 7th-wave.co, I'm on LinkedIn as well, Alice Brown. I spend too much of my day there. And if anyone is a entrepreneur who trains like an athlete, or they are an athlete that runs a business, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram. If you feel like you'd be a good fit and you want to learn more about like sports recovery, then we have a waiting list currently open for the platform. You can join our WhatsApp. It's not paid. The Instagram is doppa.london. And the waiting list is at the URL that's exactly the same, doppa.london, which we'd love to have some new founding members.
Very exciting. I wish you all the best with that. It sounds like it's going to really help out a lot of people. Alice, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast and for being so generous sharing your expertise with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chloe.
What a fascinating take on the power of community in the groups there. I thought it was really interesting to hear about all the experiments Alice is busy working on and that core connection between who you invite in and the value you get out of it, and the conversations that happen. I think that's one we all need to think about if we're going to be building communities on WhatsApp. And obviously, you know, if you want to really, if you want your ads, if you want your marketing to really cut through, you have to understand your customer better. You have to build closer relationships with them so you can get to not just the things they'll put into a survey form, but that intrinsic lower level reasoning for why they're using your product and products like it. So I love that take from Alice there. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right page on the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you to improve your business. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then why not check out episode 160, which is all about private Facebook groups with Janice Thomas, a retailer who's come on to talk about how they use Facebook groups in the business to do many of the things we've just been talking about. So that really builds on this episode. And if you want more on WhatsApp, that's what we're covering at the moment. So you can either get that by scrolling up your feed, because immediately before this, you will find other WhatsApp episodes. Or you can use the short link keepopt.com/WhatsApp to head to our page of all our WhatsApp content on the website. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing with WhatsApp and all the other channels. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
If you want to build personalized WhatsApp buying journeys that actually sell, not just chat, it's time to get Quick Engage by GoQuick. Book your demo now at keepopt.com/quickengage. That's keepopt.com/KWIKENGAGE. keepopt.com/quickengage.